Good morning. 10:09 a.m. October the 4th, 2016. It is a chilly morning. I got up. The thermometer in the back of the house said 40 degrees. So I wasn't in a big hurry to come out, even though I knew that it would be warmer when I did come out. And it is quite delightful. It is beautiful fall day. It's probably 55. There's a little breeze. I'm wearing a sweatshirt and glad of it. It's a lovely day. It really is. Sorry about yesterday. It was one of those, the day got away from me before I actually knew it had started days. And I was more determined than ever because I missed yesterday that I get out today and start a new string. October the 4th. I don't know how many days in a row I can do it. I try to do it every day. I want to do it every day. But it doesn't actually happen every day. C'est la vie. C'est la guerre. So I was thinking about confirmation bias, which I realize that's kind of a rough segue. But as I was getting my shoes on today, I was thinking about confirmation bias. It was sort of a follow-on to a discussion I was having with John Ward online before I got up from the keyboard. And confirmation bias is that circumstance where you do something happens, and you think it's because of what you did. So my book succeeded because of something that I did, which is actually highly prone to confirmation bias. Because it could very well be that while I did write them, they succeeded because of nothing that I did. My social media presence really didn't do anything at all. It's just that I had it, and since I had it, that must be the reason that my audience has grown. And that it would have grown anyway if I had just been a recluse and not stuck my head up. Which is entirely possible. That's entirely possible. Well, it could be... could be confirmation bias. So all of what I understand about marketing could be nothing more than backfitting to circumstances, which is what confirmation bias is. One of the things that got me started thinking about it was this idea of reviews and Amazon reviews in particular, and trying to figure out how to explain a non-causal correlation in a way that makes clear what confirmation bias is. And I was thinking about gravity. So, I have a ball, and if I throw the ball in the air, it will fall every single time. Every single time it will fall. And if I lay the ball on the ground, it doesn't fall. So the reason it is falling must be that I'm throwing it in the air. So if I want more balls to fall on the ground, then all I do is need to throw more balls. Or I may automate the process of throwing balls up so that getting them in the air will cause them to fall. Without actually understanding that the action of falling has really nothing to do with me, or only tangentially with anything I'm doing. It will work for everyone. Anyone who throws a ball in the air it will fall. So if everybody throws balls in the air, they'll all fall to ground. So it must be the act of throwing that's causing the balls to fall. In a certain sense, that's actually correct, because what you're doing is putting a ball in a position where gravity can act upon it and cause it to fall. But the actual moving from the top of the arc to the bottom of the arc is really not the reason that the balls are falling. The balls are falling because there is an attraction drew to a strange force called gravity that pulls objects that are not moving fast enough away back to the center of gravity of the Earth. Or back towards it, and the ground, of course, gets in the way. Which is kind of a tortured way of looking at it. But when you think about how a lot of authors look at Amazon reviews, oh, I have to have Amazon reviews because if as soon as I get Amazon reviews, then these other things will all happen. Including, and not restricted to, more sales. The more reviews I have, the more sales I'll get. Which is not true. It's demonstrably not true, because if it were true, then my books, anybody's books, who had big review counts, would be getting the most sales. And the opposite is actually true, and that's that books that have very few reviews, relatively speaking, get most of the sales. Which is a sort of counterintuitive notion, but the reality is the books that get the most sales are the books that are the newest. The books that have the fewest reviews are the books that are the newest, barring the oddball that has not sold any and therefore has no reviews. And by oddball, I mean title, not the author. Good morning. And so there's this this notion that reviews correlate to sales, and it's a causal relationship from reviews to sales, which is patently absurd, logically flawed. But it goes back to confirmation bias, because the people who think that because something that they did generated some sales, and oh look, I've got more reviews. So the reviews must be generating sales. It must be giving me better visibility. It must be getting me more attention. And the reality is, no. What got you more reviews was that you already had more sales. And you're applying what's a relatively common application of confirmation bias. You threw the ball in the air. Therefore, you got more sales. That's not how it goes. It's not how it works. I will say that the Milk Run reviews have all been accrued over a very short period of time. I think since August the 26th, we've collected 150 reviews, not all of them equally positive, which means I'm doing a good job with my marketing. I'm reaching outside the immediate silo to people who are not firmly in the Nathan Lowell fan camp. There aren't very many of them. I think a 3-star review from one of the people who's actually in the Golden Age Facebook group, which is perfectly legit. I got no problem. I got no problem at all with the review you think is appropriate for the book. If you don't think that that book is up to my other work, and rock on. I might actually agree with you. The goals of the story were very nebulous going in. It was very difficult to write. I know what I wanted it to be. It's not exactly that. I know what it had to be, and it is. Did I actually execute the story that had to be? I'm not sure. Possibly. The reality is, I'm never sure of a story. When I publish it, I'm never sure of a story, I think. Monk post. I was pretty sure that owner share would generate a certain amount of animosity and disappointment, simply because it wasn't the book many people wanted it to be. It was a certain disappointment to me, too, because it was a very complex story that was very difficult to tell from a single first-person point of view. So you never did get to see what old man Simpson was really up to. You never did get to see what Red Herring was up to. You never did get to see what Christine Maloney was up to, or Imps Jarvis. So there were a lot of scenes in there that were unfortunate. Not the least of which was when Kurt showed up at a restaurant and told Ishmael what happened to Herring. That was strictly. That was the only way that I could get that in there. The interesting questions that nobody really, I don't think anybody really raised were, why did Kurt do that? Why did it have to happen that way? The story required it, but Kurt actually had a reason for doing it. That's directly related to the story. But it's part of the story that readers didn't see, part of the story that readers aren't aware of, that didn't know about, and still don't know about. Speaking of not knowing about, there's been some interesting speculation, because one of the overriding tenets of all of the Ishmael Long stories is that Pip lies. Now, the reality is, Pip doesn't lie all the time. If he lied all the time, people would soon catch on that he's always lying. But he doesn't. Like any good liar, he puts enough truth together to make it seem believable. But what he says isn't exactly true, and it's very rarely the complete truth. It's almost never the absolute truth. Although sometimes it's the truth as he sees it, which is why I think Pip is a fascinating character. It's a fascinating character to portray. He's also a fascinating character because of his relationship with the truth, which I think is really much more in line with what people actually think about when they think about truth. Ishmael has lied, but mostly it's because of his point of view. It's mostly because of his memory. The one that everybody mentions is that he told his wife that he'd never made love on a spaceship, when of course that's false. And the question is, gets begged, does he remember flying out to Port Newmar with Bev? Does he discount that, or even taking the shuttle from Port Newmar afterwards out to Diurnia? Does he discount that because he was a passenger? He wasn't actually on duty. He wasn't actually part of the crew in either of those two cases. So it wasn't exactly the same. Or was he was he just being careful? I really don't know. So some interesting ideas floating about. Confirmation bias. The wall must be dropping because I threw it up. No. Not really. Oh, well, the other part of that is it's not. It's not something you did. It's something inherent in the condition of being in the air. Doesn't fall when you lay it on the ground because there's no potential there for it to fall. It's already on the ground. And it's kind of a simplistic model. It's kind of a simplistic idea. Well, who would think that? Who would think that just because you threw the ball up, that because you threw it, it fell? On the one hand, it's absolutely true. If you hadn't thrown it, it wouldn't have fallen. But it overlooks the idea that there may be any number of ways for a ball to be in the air that don't have anything to do with you throwing it. Could be somebody else threw it. Could be a machine threw it. It could have been hit with a tennis racket or a baseball bat. It's not because you threw it that it falls, which is sort of what confirmation bias actually is. The belief that something is happening because of some action or activity that you have personally taken on, which is why I had to start this by talking about I could be, and probably am, a victim of a certain amount of confirmation bias. That what I've done in marketing, in social media, has resulted in my book selling. When I really don't have a lot of real hard data to suggest that that actually is true. In large part because a lot of people have tried to do what I've done using some of the same techniques, and it doesn't work. For them, it didn't work. Why didn't it work for them if it worked for me? The answer is, well, maybe it didn't work for me either. Because books are not balls. It takes balls, but that's a different subject. You can't replace one for another. You can't replace Nora Roberts with Nathan Lowell. And nobody would want to. Which is why you can't do it. So drawing conclusions based on my own experience might, and I'm sort of waffling on that one now, might apply to me, but probably wouldn't apply to anyone else. It's an interesting conundrum. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.